I suspect that most of us spend Advent thinking about Christ's birth, not about his second coming. The early Christians did the opposite. They focused on his coming back in glory. They thought it would be next week or next month or next year. They focused on that. They didn't catch up with Christmas and all that until much, much later. But the right attitude, I think, is to rejoice in the first coming of our Savior. God has kept his promise. But also to be eager, for him to fulfill his promise to return to us so that he may put an end to all evil and bring us to eternal life. Unless you prefer the corrupt, violent nature of our world to the peace and joy of God's kingdom in eternity. We are supposed to mean the words we say in the Our Father. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But while we await the Lord's coming, we have a double responsibility as his disciples. First, to reform our lives, and second, to make him known to others. St. Paul addresses the first challenge in his letter to the Romans. Because the Lord will return and will judge the world, Paul says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the desires of the flesh. Throw off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us conduct ourselves properly as in the day. Not in orgies and drunkenness, not in promiscuity and lust, not in rivalry and jealousy. And by flesh, remember, he doesn't mean that what we cover our bones with, right? He really means an attitude that's closed in on itself, entirely worldly point of view that does not let God in. Paul cites both exterior sins, such as drunkenness and sexual misconduct, and interior sins, such as of the spirit of rivalry and jealousy. The first class is more obvious, and the second often hides itself, but both weaken our witness to Christ. The terrible gun violence that we keep hearing about and happens in our country is something that a person with violent tendencies must learn to resist. That we need greater strength to control ourselves than to lash out at others. But God will give that strength if we ask for it. The more interior sin of refusing to forgive someone who has offended us or a loved one is also a requirement of our faith in Christ. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Could it be any clearer? He makes another point. If you don't forgive others, God won't forgive you. We've got a lot of work to do, some of us, huh? Some people have what I call embedded sins, either exterior or interior sins, or both, that they just can't seem to overcome. Yet they should not lose hope. Praying daily with fervor, frequently receiving the sacrament of penance, engaging in penitential works such as fasting and service to those in need, can help remove embedded sins, as the constant application one day after another of a salve can heal a wound. God leaves no one without the means to overcome sin.